Today we finish the Gospel of Luke. We come to Luke chapter 24, verse 1. And Lord, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth, in Jesus' name. Amen. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. It says they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. And it was a good thing the stone was moved away, because it weighed several tons. And I don't know how these few ladies planned on moving that multi-ton rock, but somehow they were determined to get it done. Lesson: the best way to do what God wants you to do is to get busy and do what you can do, and leave the details to Him. Just start. Go in the direction of what He wants you to do, and leave the details to Him. Things will fall into place the way they need to fall into place. 3. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. So everything was falling into place, really. They had the spices and the oils, and that big rock was even moved. But there was no body to anoint. Now that's the last thing they expected. 4. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. The angels will explain the empty tomb. And I'll bet you there have been times when you've asked God why. And I bet He never sent an angel to explain why. Most of the time He doesn't explain perplexing things to us. He wants us to learn that if things are not the way we expect, it's because we assume that we know how things should go. And we should not assume such things, but instead leave it to God. But there will be an explanation here. 5. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? Why are you here looking for Jesus?" Is a good question, because Jesus had promised several times that He'd come back from the dead on day 3. They didn't believe the word of God. But God's word came to pass anyway, didn't it? God's word is true, and He will do what He says because He is faithful. The Bible says that if we deny Him, He remains faithful, for He cannot deny Himself. His word's going to come to pass, whether we believe it or not. 6. He is not here, He has risen. Remember how He told you while He was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. In other words, ladies, things look kind of crazy, but everything is under control. A roller coaster is controlled madness. And the last several days for Christ's disciples were sort of like controlled madness as well. The betrayal, arrest, murder of Jesus, and now His missing body had their heads spinning. But it was all according to plan. God was in control of everything. Life can sometimes be a roller coaster ride for God's people, but believe it or not, God has our lives on track. Verse 8. Then they remembered His words. The question is, how could they ever forget His words in the first place? How can you forget Jesus saying, "I'm going to be betrayed, crucified, and then on day 3 rise from the dead"? And if those first predictions come to pass, how do you forget the last one? It's just amazing. 9. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. And all the others would include the 70 believers. Verse 10. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to be like nonsense. In other words, it didn't make sense, so they didn't believe. If something has to make sense in order to be true, then we would be in trouble, because it doesn't make sense for the God who created us and hates sin to come to earth, be tortured, and murdered to pay for our sins either. That doesn't make sense. Thank the Lord that it's true, even though it doesn't make sense. 12. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened. Peter didn't believe the ladies, but he acted on it anyway when he checked out the tomb. And because he acted on the word of God, God will show him that it is true. You do not have to believe the word in your head for it to work for you. Act on God's word, and he will prove that it's true. Act on God's word, even if you have doubts, and he will prove that it's true. 13. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. Now, these two would not be two of the remaining 11 apostles, but rather two from among the wider group of 70 disciples. 14. And they were talking with each other about everything that had happened. And there was a lot to talk about, too. The betrayal, the torture, the crucifixion. And then, they were also no doubt talking about what the women said about the angels who told them that Jesus was raised. So they were talking about all these things as they walked. And 15, as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. Evidently, Jesus appeared behind them some distance and then just gradually caught up to them and began walking with them. 16. But they were kept from recognizing him. If Christ allows them to recognize him, they won't hear what he's about to teach them from Scripture. They'll be too blown away by the fact that it's Jesus. You know, experience is nice, but don't put your faith in it. The only thing we know for sure is from God, is the Holy Scripture. So he didn't allow them to recognize him so he could talk to them. 17. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. They had been talking about what all the stuff that had happened. But you can see that, you know, even though they were talking about everything, their talking didn't cheer them up. In fact, it probably made them even more sad. And they're going to remain sad until Christ gives them the word of God. You can talk about your troubles from now until the day you die, and it won't do you any good. But when you talk about the word of God, it'll encourage your spirit. 18. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days? Well, if anyone in Jerusalem, that entire area actually, was talking about anything, it was the events that surrounded the trial and the murder of Christ. I mean, that was the top news story. Everybody was talking about that. 19. What things, he asked. About Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. Boy, if there had been any respect for the religious rulers among these godly men, if there had been any respect left, it was out the window after what they did to Jesus Christ. That was the final nail in their coffin. Everybody knew what they did. 21. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. If hope deferred makes the heart sick, as the Bible says, then hope lost is a dagger through the heart. These disciples went from waiting for Christ to set Israel free to knowing that it will not happen because he's dead. And that's why they're sick with sadness. A dagger has been shoved through their heart. 22. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning. When the women told the disciples about the angels and the empty tomb, the disciples were amazed. They should not have been amazed, because Jesus and the Old Testament both predicted the resurrection. They should have looked at their calendar and said, well, Jesus is right on time. It's the third day. No wonder the tomb is empty. 23. It says, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Okay. Now they have the scriptures. They have the women. They have the angels plus Jesus all testifying to the resurrection. So why are they downcast, right? Isn't that a good question? I think it is. 24. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. Well, they figured that if Christ had really been raised, then certainly he would have revealed himself to the disciples when they went to the empty tomb. And since he did not, they are sad. Here's the thing to remember. God is not obliged to confirm something is true by doing something that we want him to do as proof. The thing may be true, but God may ignore what we feel must be there as proof. We need to believe God. 25. He said to them, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. You know, good people can be wrong. So Christ didn't rebuke these disciples for not believing the women. However, Jesus does rebuke them for not believing the Holy Scriptures, which are never wrong. 26. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? Many places in the Old Testament talk about the Christ dying for our sins. Instead of seeing Christ's death as evidence that Jesus wasn't the Messiah, they should have seen it as another sign that he was the Messiah. 27. And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. And the truth is going to sink in this time. They will understand it because they have lived it. Reading the Word of God is a way of understanding it. But when you live the Word and experience some of the things that it talks about, Scripture is going to come alive like never before. 28. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going further. See, Jesus would not invite himself to stay with them. And he was not invited, at least at this point. So being the polite, modest person that Christ is, he just kept walking. Verse 29. But they urged him strongly, stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over. So he went in to stay with them. God does not force himself on anyone. He will let people carry on without him. But he will also say yes to any invitation from anyone who really wants his company. That includes you and I. Doesn't matter how bad we've been either. If we really want to repent, we really want his company, he's not going to say no. Sorry, don't have time for you. 30. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Jesus said the prayer and distributed the food. He takes the spiritual lead as if he's, you know, the owner of the place. even though as far as they knew, he was just a stranger. 31. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. His mission to the two men was accomplished. They needed to know that he was raised. His words convinced them, and his disappearing put an exclamation mark behind his words. 32. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" If you're talking to a close friend on the phone, you know it's them, without actually seeing them. You recognize them by their soul, by their words, what they know, what they say. You don't have to see them physically to know it's them. And these two did not recognize Jesus' body. He must have hid the nail scars. Maybe he had his hands in his cloak or something. I don't know. But they recognized his soul through his words. 33. They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together. And so all their plans in Emmaus are canceled after they see Jesus. Any thoughts of going back to life as it was before they knew Christ? Those plans are probably canceled also. Hey, this makes everything different. The resurrection is huge, and they are probably wondering, what next? What does it mean for us? 34. So, they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true. The Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." By the time these two got back to Jerusalem, the resurrection was old news because Jesus had beat them back and appeared to Peter. Which tells me that we're going to move a lot faster in our raised bodies than what we do in our bodies now. Because Jesus clearly left these two disciples in the dust. He got back so quickly that he had already appeared to Peter by the time they got back. 35. Then the two told what had happened on the way, and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. The apostles told their story, and the two disciples told their story. And as a result, everyone's faith is no doubt strengthened. When Christians talk about their experiences with Christ, it's like reliving those experiences all over again. And everyone involved gets a fresh blessing. That's the value of fellowship. Christian fellowship. 36. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." Without hearing a door open or shut, without hearing the footsteps of Jesus Christ, suddenly, he was just there. A resurrected body would never work in this world of sin, would it? People would use it to do all sorts of evil. It'll be fine, though, in a world where everyone respects each other, and that'll be the case in the new earth. 37. They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. The disciples mistook Christ for a ghost at first. Departed souls are not roaming the earth, tossing dishes and slamming doors in people's homes today. Any spirit that claims to be a human spirit is a demon spirit in disguise. 38. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds?" They are afraid, they are troubled, because they mistakenly believe that Jesus is a spirit. It was a mistake. You know, most fear is a waste of time because it is fear over things that are not true or will never happen. A mind controlled by the flesh and influenced by Satan can become like a production studio for horror stories. 39. "Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have. A spirit doesn't have anything that can be touched. We are spirits, but for all eternity we will be like Christ, that is, we'll be in our physical bodies. 40. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. The nail scars are proof that it is Christ in his physical body, back from the dead. Acts chapter 1 verse 3 says, after his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave them many convincing proofs that he was alive. What you see here is some of that proof. 41. And while they still did not believe it, because of joy and amazement, he asked them, do you have anything here to eat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish. I don't believe Christ was hungry. He certainly didn't need food, but he ate it in order to show them that it was really him in a physical body. 43. And he took it and ate it in their presence. We're going to eat in our resurrected body, you know that? Not because we will need food, I don't think we'll need it, but simply for enjoyment. Food, good food, will be one of the things that will enhance our enjoyment of eternity. 44. He said to them, this is what I told you while I was with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. The crucifixion would not have shocked them if they would have understood that the Bible predicted it. The more we know the Word of God, the better we'll understand the ways of God. The more we know the Bible, the less likely we are to be surprised at some of the things God does or God allows. 45. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the Scripture. It takes the work of God and a work of grace to remove the veil from a person's mind so that they can understand the true meaning of Scripture. That's why prayer ought to always precede Bible study. 46. He told them, this is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. Jesus had to be raised on the third day to show that he was sinless and to show that his sacrifice paid for our sin. And because the Bible said it would happen, so it happened. 47. And repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations beginning at Jerusalem. There is no forgiveness without repentance. And there is no forgiveness apart from Christ. I certainly respect the right of all to choose their religion, but I do not respect all religions. The only religion worthy of respect in my book is the one that acknowledges Jesus died for our sin and forgiveness is only found through Christ. That's the only religion that I respect because that's what Scripture teaches. 48. You are witnesses of these things. Jesus doesn't appear to every human in his raised body to give them a chance to believe. He appeared to his apostles, and he told them to be his witnesses. And we know they spoke the truth about the resurrection because all 11 suffered. They were tortured. And they were martyred for proclaiming the truth about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's a powerful testimony. 49. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. They will receive the Holy Spirit in a few days, and he will empower them so that they can preach the Word of God with boldness. And the only way a lost soul on the way to hell can be saved is if they are brought face to face with their sin and their need of repentance and their need of Jesus Christ. It's not about shouting. And it's not about out-talking someone. It's about speaking the Word of God with the blessing of the Holy Spirit. That's why the apostles were to wait for the Holy Spirit to arrive in them. 50. So when he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And when Jesus lifted his hands toward the disciples, he spoke of words of blessing. And whatever he said to them, whatever words of blessing he spoke to them, was given them. And that's because the word of God does not return empty. It is the power of God. 51. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. So the last thing Jesus did, in fact, even as he was leaving, he blessed his disciples. The last memory they had of Christ was his outstretched arms, blessing them as he went up. 52. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. When they saw Christ lift off, they worshipped. You know what? No one had to say, you know, I think it's time for worship. When you know in your soul who Jesus is, and when you really understand what he has done for you, you're going to worship him before you even know you're worshiping him. We'll stop right there. Next time, the Gospel of John. Until then, so long, everyone.